everyone, namaste. Thank you so much for joining with me today and welcome back to my podcast. It's been 2 weeks since I released an episode, and that was because of the endless technical issues that I was facing. But finally now I'm out of those obstacles. I don't really want to have any excuses or reasons for not to keep this podcast going, because I'm very overwhelmed by the response and the feedback that I've been getting on how this podcast is helping you guys so much. And it fills me with gratitude just to know that this venture has been serving its purpose. Today we have a very spiritual and beautiful being here with us who has been through a lot of ups and downs in her life in terms of relationships, and hence it makes her a very appropriate person to talk about the healing that goes into post a relationship is over. And it's just my personal opinion that to talk about such a sensitive topic is not easy at all. I think if one has not gone through the pain and the intensity of all of it, the gravity of the situation that one goes through post a partner is not a partner anymore, it can be very difficult to give advice, because it is always so easy said than done in such situations. Every word, every sentence can go super triggering for the person going through it. And I think I've always been meaning to dive into this topic, but didn't find the right person until now. And I'm so happy that we have a wonderful guest here with us to do that for us. So let's welcome today Zara Marine Franks. Hi, Zara. Welcome to Learning and Learning. You look absolutely amazing. I feel extremely grateful to have you here with me today.
Thank you, Sania. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me. And the first question that I want to ask you is, how did you unlearn your beliefs and learn so much of what you know today just with the occurrence of a breakup? I mean, I totally understand that talking about something that has brought us trauma and hurtful feelings in the past can be so, so difficult. And that is the reason why I'm always thankful to all of my guests to come here to the podcast and talk about their experiences and their learnings so patiently. It's amazing. So what's your story, Zara?
I love that question. Because it really gets to the root of our behavior, how we move and live in the world. So first, I had learned a lot of things growing up and from society about relationships and how to be. And not all of those were empowering for me. Some of those were ways of being that didn't belong to me, or things I learned from my mother, or larger messages from society and media and stuff about you've got to be somebody different in relationship in order to be loved. You know, it's not okay to be yourself. So when I was coming out of my previous breakup, that was the big moment of really realizing I've got to be myself in relationship, because this whole time I was not being myself, trying to manipulate the situation in order to be loved. And by manipulate, I don't mean anything like consciously negative. I was changing my behavior because I thought I was unacceptable, so I had to hide parts of myself. But that wound up backfiring. So the person on one level could never really get close enough to me to really know me. And on another level, I enabled them to treat me in ways that I did not want to be treated. So we had a very toxic relationship, and a lot of things were going ignored, a lot of unhealthy behavior and such. So when I got out, I had to unlearn some ways of being that, how I've been so far is not working. So, you know, some of parts of me, some beliefs I have to let go of. That meant that I had to spend time alone, which I recommend highly. It's very difficult to hear yourself think, hear your real voice inside if you're with someone else who you are subtly changing your behavior for. And we all do this on some level. We're social creatures, so we evolved in community, so it's important that we kind of mirror each other to, you know, gain acceptance in the tribe so that we can be safe, you know?
Yeah.
But that can go overboard into being inauthentic or abandoning ourselves or betraying ourselves. So I spent 2 years alone working on that, how to be myself. And the first thing that helped me through that was getting back to the passions and the things that I had left behind. And one of those was spending time with animals, spending time with horses. So I basically didn't give myself a chance to stay in my habits, stay in my habitual ways of being. I had to do something different physically,
yeah,
you know, with my body and with my mind. Another thing that I used was yoga, which I had never really done yoga too seriously. I had taken a class or two here and there. My sister had taught me some yoga, and but I found myself walking into a yoga class that was particularly difficult and particularly somatic and particularly emotional and very focused and very deep. And I walked out of that class feeling very strange.
We've all been there.
Something deep had happened. Yeah. Excuse me. And I thought, oh God, you know, I feel so strange after this class. I must have made a mistake. That class was too hard. And I don't know why, but I found myself drawn towards the class again. And I, excuse me, I proceeded to go back to that class for 3 years. So that was really some strengthening time for me to play with my edges, meet my resistances, push past my resistances. That was the training, you know, and learn how to work with the breath and learn how to track your emotions, how to find your spirit, locate your spirit, track your fear when you are out of body. So I learned how to get back in my body. And that being said, you know, going through a breakup is a traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
So it's an out of body experience. So you've got to return to yourself on some level. So that was really what was going on. And so I was learning new ways of being and unlearning habitual ways of being.
I love that, Zara. That is so beautiful. I think yoga has something in it that attracts us. You know, even after the first session is difficult or is it easy, it has an energy that draws us to it, right? And that same thing happened to me. You know, randomly I just started doing yoga, and now it's been 3 years and I've hardly skipped yoga in a day. So it has this thing, you know. And recently in a conversation with my guest, we were talking about how important relationships are when it comes to realizing our full spiritual potential. So whether it's embracing the present feelings of love, kindness that we have in us, or just finding it and digging it in ourselves when we're no longer with partners, and how it is one of the most effective ways of making us realize our faults and emotional capabilities, and just enlightens us so much in all of our capacities. It's truly wonderful. And the thing that no other relationship can bring you so much wisdom and knowledge about your own self is just stellar. You know, romantic relationship with partners just stands out in this matter. And you can either dig a hole out of your sadness or use it as a catalyst to become stronger, better, and just so much more powerful in your emotions and energy. And I'm guessing that you took the road less traveled. That is the latter one. And you got your own rewards, right? Which is absolutely amazing. I'm so happy for you. I mean, you got to be grateful of those experiences, because you wouldn't be here if it weren't for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do want to point out that, you know, it was not easy. And and I, in the beginning, those first few days and weeks and months after the breakup, but you know, there's an incredible sadness. You're in mourning.
Exactly.
And you also are detoxing physically and mentally from
that
nice person.
Way to put it,
so yeah, it's harrowing. And so it's not as if like Okay, I knew what to do right away. I kind of was moving intuitively and trying my best just not to stay in bed all day, or trying my best not to participate in destructive behaviors that ultimately weren't going to help me learn. Only because, I mean, it was such a rock bottom that I thought, I have no choice other than to do something differently. I can't just jump into the next relationship with the same operating system.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, how you personally got over your breakup, healed yourself, empowered yourself, and made yourself so strong, and then move on to, you know, aligning your goals, manifestations, and other things in your life so that you could attract a wonderful partner in your life that you feel that would fit your, dreams. And now I ask this question to you, that how did you do that? Because mostly what happens with people is that once they break up, their belief and trust in the whole concept of relationship kind of shatters. And they start thinking that there is nobody else out there that will ever be able to fit, quote unquote, into their definition of a dream partner. Now, sometimes people say that you have to compromise and all of that, but I personally kind of disagree. I think we can attract exactly what we really want in a life, in our life, from a partner. And it's very much possible when we believe that there is abundance. So let's first start that. How did you attract your partner post that breakup?
Yeah, well, so I did go through that exact thing of, I'm never going to love again.
Yeah.
That won't happen to me.
Exactly.
I'll never meet someone as special. But what I didn't really realize, because I had not a full definition of love, and I had not really even experienced what real love was. I thought I had, but I had not. I thought, oh, okay, that was love and I'll never get it again. And I had to be patient with myself. So that took fully 2 years for me to look around and say, oh, you know, I think I might be ready to go on some dates.
Yeah.
So I just was really patient. And you have to be patient with yourself, because your emotions take time to cycle through. Yeah, it takes time. Like, you might not be feeling attracted to anyone. You might be feeling disillusioned. That's okay. You're not supposed to be a certain way or do a certain thing. You have to feel that first. So go ahead, feel that, but just know that, like, in time, some other emotion will come up, some other realization,
yeah,
some other viewpoint on what happened and relationships in general. So really, I just gave myself time. But I, about the abundance that you mentioned, I focused on the abundance of love that I had in other areas. So friends, healthy friendships, healthy familial relationships. I just filled my life with that. And also, I gave myself a little sign. Like, people often talk about seeing signs, like, oh, it's a sign, it's a sign. So I gave myself a sign that whenever I see a heart, it means that love is around me and love is coming to me.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I might walk down the sidewalk and see, you know, a rock or a random cloud or a leaf, and if it's in the shape of a heart, I would be like, oh, that's my signal. Love is nearby. Love is coming to
me.
That
is amazing.
You know, even though I don't feel it, it's like keeping the support going, even if I can't keep the support.
how wonderful is that? Amazing. As you said, it wasn't easy for you at all. You know, you had your own episodes of anxiety, loneliness, and the sudden feeling of being utterly single when you're so used to a person being by your side 24/7. You know, that's a really horrible feeling. So how did you manage that anxiety, and how do you also help your clients do the same? So what is your suggestion to them when it comes to managing anxiety, and how did you personally do it?
Yeah, well, anxiety is a mind-body connection. So if you are struggling with anxiety, you've got to approach it from body first. It, we think it's a mind thing, and it is, but the body informs so much of that. So you have a checklist you've got to go through. How have I been sleeping? How have I been eating? Have I moved my body? Have I gone outside? Have I gotten sunshine? Have I spent time with friends? How is my breathing? Mm-hmm. And then we can go deeper into, oh, what kind of vagal tone do I have? Vagal tone has to do with your vagus nerve, which controls your parasympathetic nervous system, which controls your rest and digest state, which is anti-anxiety. So you have to address things on the physical level. And that was what was happening to me through working with animals and through working with the yoga. Now, and my meditation practice. Now, when I look back, I can see the clear steps. So that's what I wrap into my program for people. What I give them tools and practices to use to come down out of anxiety. And coming down out of anxiety is a practice, and it's a muscle, and it needs training.
Absolutely, I agree.
So, yeah.
That is wonderful. I love that, Sara. It's wonderful advice. And now that we're talking about your clients and how you help them, can you walk us through your program, which is called Breakup to Breakthrough, which is, I love that name. And to everyone listening, the links to everything is in the show notes. If you're somebody going through a breakup and not able to gather your life back together, this program is definitely for you. Zara will help you to clean up the mess and also give you tips that really stay with you for life. So this program not only helps you with your breakup, I believe, but it is also for your overall growth as a person, mentally and spiritually. And you will be a completely changed person after this. So Zara, I have read so much in your contents of this program on your website. All of those look really very interesting. So, I mean, using the power and energy of mantras, visualization techniques, breathwork practices, journaling, and so many great tools that you mentioned. So can you walk us through every one of those and tell us how do these practices really relate to breakup? Because we have always related these practices with spirituality and mental health, but then how do breakups come into the picture when these practices are talked about?
Yeah, well, so I run a 4-week program. And the first week, I just get to know you. We learn more about your story and your situation. And then the next 3 weeks, we develop a plan of action for you. And week 2, we do a reappraisal and release of everything that is surrounding you. We even help you clean up your social media and make that a safe space to be in. Maybe we'll gather objects that are from the relationship and put them in a box and, you know, either give them away or give them to a friend if you are not ready for that. So that's release. And then week 3, we rebuild and we restore. So that's all about returning to your passions, returning to your inspiration, the things you've left behind, the neglected parts of self. And that gets you moving physically in the world, which is really important for your mental health. So maybe, you know, it could be dance, it could be painting, it could be trimming bonsai or cooking or whatever it is. We'll find it and we'll get you involved in it again. And then week 4, we do visioning. We define and transform what your vision is for your future love life. Now that we've done a deep self-inventory and we've cleaned stuff up and maybe we've done some rituals for cleansing, now we are ready to vision. Because it's really hard to vision those beginning stages when you feel hopeless or you are confused about what's gone on. So we start visioning exercises, guided visualization. We get everything on paper and just really get detailed. I find that a lot of people have a hard time answering the question, what do you want? Or what are you looking for? They immediately tell me what they don't want and what they're not looking for. But that's not the same. So it can be challenging. We can be scared of what we want, you know, maybe too embarrassed to admit it or think that it's never going to happen, so it's not even worth saying it.
I agree.
So we say it, you know. And then, you know, there's some follow-up calls and, you know, I check in on you to see how you're doing. And yeah, throughout the program, I start you on breathwork practice. I start you on, like you mentioned, mantras. Like, I know mantras are traditionally a more spiritual practice, but I take them and evolve them for and personalize them for you. So we'll find a mantra that for your week that you would like to embody, like a phrase or a belief, you know, and we'll just come back to that and use it as an anchor. No matter how you're feeling, maybe you don't believe it or you think everything's like not going to work or you're just feeling very sad. That's okay. We use the mantra to come back to.
Can you give an example of this mantra, Zara? So what are these phrases?
They're very personal.
Yeah.
Well, it's personal to the person. So, you know, if someone's feeling sadness and lack of hope, you know, we'll pull a mantra for what it is that they are looking for. For one of my clients, let's see, hers was, "May I be ready to receive this relationship." May I be ready to receive, because she had a lot of stipulations and requirements and ideas about the kind of person she needs. And that's good. She has clarity there. But that is a very like action-oriented approach. And there's a lot of surrender in finding relationship. Like, you're not in charge of every detail and of reality.
Right. You know, that's true.
So sometimes we need to have a little surrender in there of, you know, when this person comes along, may I just be ready for them? So that kind of thing. That way she doesn't have something to do for it. She can just surrender into it.
Yeah, beautiful. Because I think that mantras are something that really work for me as well, because there are two mantras that there are actually three of them that I absolutely swear by. And one would be that the universe is doing things for me and not to me. And the second one would be, breath is my anchor. My anchor is my breath. And the third one is, okay, so what was it? I just had a brain fog. Brain fogs are becoming...
It's okay. The important thing is that it's living inside of you. It's almost a good thing that you can't remember, because it's integrated.
Oh,
it's working in the background.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. You know, when you were speaking, I just remembered all of the three mantras, but when I was speaking, I just forgot about it. So
it's kind of beautiful. You know, they're in there working.
Yeah, it is. They're always working with me, and
it's better that they're in your subconscious mind, because that is where a lot of processing happens.
I always remember them, not in just my difficult times, but also in my happy times. You know, just remember the third one. It is, everything happens for a reason.
There you go.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, something, when there is something really good happening to me, this mantra comes along by, and also when something is, you know, off with me, or life happens, as we say it, you know, this month, all the three mantras are always by my side, and they catch me, they support me, they're always there for me. And I've always seen my breath getting, you know, slower, better, and my anxiety also fading off when I chant these mantras to myself. So yeah, mantras are absolutely amazing, and one of the best practices to ground you and to make your brain and your mind and your soul know that you are okay. And of course, you know, it is personalized. Everybody has their own situation. Everybody has their own feelings and uniqueness to these mantras, because everybody has their own different story. And the mantras are so beautiful. You can personalize them. You can chant them for as long as you want in the morning before sleeping. And they will always leave you feel satisfied, right? So mantras are beautiful. Mm-hmm. I agree. So yeah, we can move on. Yeah. So you were on visualizations next.
Yeah. So when I was maybe about 15 or 16, I was kneeling by the fire in my parents' home, and
okay.
I was going into a meditation, and I was given like an instruction to do a particular visualization. And that's when it started. That's when this visualization practice started. So, you know, it started to be very basic, like doing color, visualizing different colors, colors cleansing your body and your field and all of that. And so over the years, I progressed in these visualizations, and they really helped me either vision for a partner, or to just clean my energy, or to do deep self-inquiry. So that's what we work with in the program. I've cataloged these visualizations, and I kind of pick them out depending on what you're dealing with. And sometimes I'll create new ones. Oftentimes I combine them with a breath practice. And yeah, that's
absolutely. I mean, I think visualizations are a really powerful tool, because, you know, when we're attracting or manifesting something, our subconscious mind is the one that's playing the biggest role, right? And there was my energy healer, my teacher, she taught me that our subconscious mind actually can work really great when it sees visuals. And this is where, you know, the practice of vision boards and everything comes into place, right? When we are looking at our goal, and when we're looking at where we want to be, our subconscious mind just understands the assignment better, and it starts working towards it, right? And it drives all our intentions and our emotions, everything towards those goals, because the subconscious mind understands visuals better than anything else. So that is why vision boards and visualization techniques are getting so famous and, you know, get going these days, because these really work. And, you know, also when I meditate a lot on a daily basis, and I was doing these earth elements meditation practice, where fire, water, space, wind, all of these elements that are inside you, you know, the five elements of our being, and it is so beautiful, where, you know, it is a guided meditation. So the person who is guiding you, they are like, you know, they make you walk into the fire. So the fire is burning all of your negative energy, and there is water, and it is flowing from your feet, and you really feel your feet getting cold. And there is the wind that is gushing on your face, and you really feel all that negative energy just leaving your body. And it is really beautiful to experience that. And it is beautiful because you are actually visualizing all of those things. You are seeing that river water, and you know what, these amazing things they tell us, the guide tells us, that visualize the water getting black with your negative energy as it flows by your feet. And you can actually see that black water flowing off, and your negative energy pulling out of your body, and all of these beautiful things that you can visualize. And visualization is like, you have endless limits, you know, you can visualize anything you want in front of you, and leave the rest on your subconscious mind. It's like, you just have to visualize and leave the universe and your subconscious mind do the rest. And that belief and that trust, it works all together.
I'd like to say, not everyone has a visual mind. Everyone's brain does work differently.
Yeah.
So it can feel a little pressured to be visual, to see things. Actually, some brains are not doing that. So I do encourage people to sense into their body. Maybe they're having a sensation, tingling, hot, cold.
Mm.
Maybe they're having a feeling, an emotion pass through them. So even though I don't want people to hear visualization and think like, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There's lots of ways to sense and these things. And that's the most important part for the learning and for integrating.
Yeah, that is so kind of you to point that out. I might get carried away with all of my my beliefs and my practices, but yeah, it is also important to know that everybody is different, and there are so many more practices that can work for you, and really find your own and believe that it will work for you, right? Amazing, Zara.
Yeah.
So we can move on to breathwork practices and journaling, as you have mentioned, and how do they work?
Yeah, so I may have mentioned a little earlier about the vagus nerve, and the main way to come down off of anxiety, like the physical way, the instant way, is through your breath. When you do a deep belly breath, it activates this nerve in your body, and if you're having anxiety, your breath is shallow. And probably in your lungs, your stomach is probably a little tight. So we work with moving the tummy around, doing deep breathing, doing breath holds, and just to begin to make that a normal practice for you, a normal baseline of rest and digest. So that's what we work with there. And then the journaling is very important, because oftentimes what is bouncing around in our heads is not coherent. Even though we feel that our thoughts are coherent, once you put pen to paper or finger to keypad, it begins to take shape in the real world. And yeah, that can be very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's really important that we get what is in our mind out of our mind. So it brings us a lot of clarity, and asking yourself some questions. I mean, I give all of the guided journaling prompts, but answering some of these questions can be eye-opening, can be relieving, can be challenging. And it's something you can have forever. You can look back on and see what kind of frame of mind you were in at the time. So yeah, we use it for clarity, we use it for visioning, and we use it to get to know ourselves again, you know.
That is wonderful. So Zara, you also mentioned something about ancient feminine archetypes and how to leverage them. So what does this really mean? Because I'm hearing this for the first time, and I'm very intrigued to know what exactly this is.
Yeah, so story and mythology have been around since we've been around. It's how we learn best, and it's how we transmit lessons, learning, information. So when we look back at mythology, when we look back at folklore, the answers to our struggles are in there, because we are all operating on the same hardware. Chances are someone has been through the same thing as you. Or chances are there is an idea that you, if you were to embody this idea or this way of being, you could begin to see transformation in your life. So example of that might be, this is very simple, but this is an embodiment exercise. But some people say before you go on an interview, think of, you know, yourself as like this rock star, or raise your hands above your head, or, you know, like get yourself hyped up and into a whole other persona. And then you walk into the interview and you have channeled another more powerful version of yourself. So drawing from ancient feminine archetypes to help us embody ideas of warriorship, or ideas of transformation, or surrender, or all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things that we choose from there. I recently recommended for one of my clients a Green Tara meditation. Green Tara is the Tibetan goddess of liberation, and sometimes we just need that idea. We need this idea,
right,
of something. We need to remember a concept.
Yeah.
Liberation. Oh, perhaps I could have some of that. And just by tapping into that, you do receive it. So
yeah,
it is an esoteric practice. It is an immaterial practice. But guess what? The heart, emotions, your emotional life is immaterial. So material solutions don't always have the effect you think they do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, I've heard this for the first time, and it is amazing to know that this also exists. I mean, I'm surely going to explore it more after our podcast is over. I would really like to know this in deep and how I can really use this in my life. And I also read about divine feminine embodiment practice on your website. So again, I am so very interested to know about this, because this is, again, something I'm hearing for the first time. So how do you put this into practice so that women can benefit from this?
Yeah, well, we'll go over a mythology. We'll explore different goddesses and see what they have to offer us. Or maybe it's a folklore of folklore and story in cultures is meant to show you patterns of initiation. There are many, many stories of, well, Bluebeard is a wonderful story. It's a story about a young girl who falls in love with a man, and there's something suspicious about this man, and the story is meant to illustrate the naivete that we experience, and also to understand how to deal with a predator. So a predator, a predatory part of our psyche, or a predatory person out in the world, and how to mature in order to know how to handle that situation. A predatory part of our psyche might be the part of you that procrastinates, or the part of you that self-sabotages.
Oh.
So we will go over this story to understand what parts of you might be doing that. And then how does the girl navigate Bluebeard in the story, and what happens in the end, you know?
Oh,
and
wow.
What are the challenges she faces in this story? Because this story maps on directly to all of our human experience of overcoming our own challenges, overcoming our own predators, internal and external. So, you know, we need to return to that in order to see that initiation. And some people get stuck in their initiation processes. It doesn't matter how old you are, but you can still have girlhood and maidenhood in you, and you still can be, 50 years old and walking the earth as a maiden, still under-realized, still struggling to get to womanhood in your understanding of your environment. So it's important that we look at these stories to embody them and come full circle.
Wow, this is so interesting. And I never thought that this could be related to something like breakups, you know. It seems completely unrelated, but it's beautiful how you include these interesting and very, very deep practices into your programs. And I think it could just as I said, it could be completely transformational. I mean, a person could never think that they are what they are going to have into this program. And it's amazing. It's just life changing. And finally, for the last bit, Zara, I would like you to share a story with us that makes our lovely audience and me really believe that this is very much possible. And please let this be completely anonymous. But what happens is that, you know, why I'm asking you this is that when people listen to real life testimonies and stories, they tend to believe that something like this, which is completely transformational and seems to be unrelated with breakup, really exists. And or else what happens is that because this program requires so much work from ourselves, you know, it demands so much energy and time and resources, and people don't have it these days. You know, they wouldn't put in the effort if they would not think that this is not worth it. You know, they want to see the worth in this, and they don't have time for self-care, they don't have time for self-improvement, and it reflects in their decisions for And I really want the audience to realize that this is a great program. And I want us to, and I want this podcast to really, really reflect that particular thing, because for most people, it is probably, you know, they would never believe that mantras and visualizations work in getting them over a breakup, as I said before, because for most people, it is distracting themselves with overworking or sadly taking up drinking habits or getting way too much into fitness to distract themselves, and for the wrong reasons, of course, because they really want to show their ex how they're not destroyed just because they're gone, and which is so common and honestly so funny. But on a serious note, these practices are so common, and there is a deeper and more meaningful conclusion to our breakups, and there could be a breakthrough change in a routine, and that's why the name of your program fits so beautifully into this paradigm, and it should be involved and put effort in order to get over a breakup. So can we have a real story from you which makes our listeners believe into these practices?
Yeah. Well, first I'd like to say about some of the things you said, like if you're not willing to put the time into yourself, you know, then you will reap what you sow there. So the effort in, effort out.
Absolutely.
So if you want something to be different, then you have to do something differently. That's all I'll say. We spend a lot of effort in lots of other parts of our lives, diligently studying for school or getting certifications for work or planning our financial future. And we don't spend that time or attention or devotion on our love lives. And we get something so very true. Random. So if you approached school or work or your finances randomly, then guess what you're going to get? Yeah. You know, something random. So, you know, it's new principles, like new approaches, but applied to love and relationships. You know, it's all related. So and as for a story, I mean, one of my most beloved women I worked with, she was in a relationship and she was having some dissatisfaction in that relationship, and so we did an intuitive reading for her, and we saw that her partner wasn't quite aligned for her, not quite on the same page, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with the partner. They're a wonderful person as well. It's just out of alignment. And so with that reading, she was able to see like where the direction that her partner was headed and the direction that her soul and her heart were headed. And you've got to honor yourself, right? So they did wind up ending the relationship. But after this reading, we had some more sessions, and she was able to go deeper on what it exactly is that she wanted, what kind of person she is, and to, again, honor that and keep that energy strong. So she wound up meeting a new man, and he was much more aligned for her. And so it's like, okay, I stuck by myself. I didn't change myself to try to fit into a mold for someone else, which creates misalignment. And this new partner, of course, there's adjustment period in new relationship. So then we continued our work in their relationship. Obviously, it's not just A, B, C, you know, 1, 2, 3, easy. Like all relationships have their challenges and adjustments. So we continued our work into her new relationship. How do I show up my true self? And how does he show up as his true self? And how do we navigate the work together and get to know each other and not project onto each other? Or how do we stay together without running away because things are confusing? So we worked on harmony in the new relationship, and we worked on communication of ourselves and drawing communication out of the partners. So they were able to overcome some initial little bumps in the early days, and now they're planning their wedding. So yeah, it takes getting some support. It takes getting to know yourself. It takes sticking by yourself, you know, And it can be scary to leave one relationship that you've invested time in. But it can also be scary to waste time in something that is not going anywhere.
Yeah. So. It's important to know that, absolutely. And it's amazing that the woman had the courage and the trust to put her effort into these practices and believed in herself and her intuition that she could get over something like so serious. And what an amazing story. I think they should do it. You know, they should definitely give some encouragement and a slight push to anybody who has been going through this very, very rough time. And to everybody listening, there are four amazing modules that Zara just mentioned before. But I just want to give out a summary so that you know what you are putting yourself into before you enroll into a program. And I just want to get through this. So she first ensures that her services to you are completely customized according to your needs, your story, your unique situation, and something that suits your schedule, your energy level, your personal space, which is absolutely great because if you're actually getting such personal attention to self-improvement practices, which is tailored to your feelings and emotions, I think your progress and accuracy to achieve that reconnection with yourself just exponentially increases. And then I believe Zara will begin the decoupling process, as she says on a website, and analyzes what you have lost, gain, and what needs to be reclaimed. So as I said before, she helps you clean up your headspace, your mental, physical, and spiritual space, as well as the digital and social space, as she mentioned before, is so important to address because it can actually have a huge effect on our recovery. And she addresses all of our problems specifically and advises certain methods and practices, like we discussed in our podcast, for complete recovery and rebuilding of your soul. And last but definitely not the least, the last module is called Divine and Transform, where Zara will dive deep into your patterns, beliefs, fears, closely held desires, and learn how to properly set powerful intentions. And she will help you define your vision for the future and transform your mindset to welcome this vision into reality and attract a good partner for yourself, if at all you're ready to do that. So you can also book a free exploration session with her before enrolling into the program, and listen to her podcast as well, because she is an amazing podcast host, and take up as much advice from there as possible. Thank you so much, Zara, for being here with me today. This conversation is going to help thousands and hopefully millions to transform their lives completely and have a deep, meaningful connection with themselves with no regrets. You are proof why unlearning and learning are the two fundamentals of our complete and absolute control of our lives and feelings. And there's always time and space for change and improvement as long as we are willing to put in the effort. And I learned so much from you in this podcast, so many wonderful new things that I will always cherish my whole life. It was amazing to have you on my podcast today.
Thank you so much, Sonia. It was a real pleasure. So enjoyable.
Thank you so much to all my listeners for being here and sticking till the end. If you're somebody who has been going through this, I really, really hope that this podcast will help you. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode.